Hard to believe that it was the middle of the NBA Finals last night when the Chicago Cubs came back from 6-1 down in the ninth inning to beat the St. Louis Cardinals by a score of 7-6. Wow. Welcome in to the Windy City Cubs podcast. Yeah, you didn't think that was going to happen. Neither did I. And sadly, none of it really matters as we are on Chris Bryant watch. Bryant pulled in the middle of the game last night. I'm getting texts from everyone. Did the Cubs trade Chris Bryant? And I've got to check and make sure, probably just like the rest of you. And no, they have not traded Chris Bryant. In fact, he was just pulled because, you know, the old right hamstring tightness. But we all are on Bryant watch, and it's going to come down at any point, seemingly today, tomorrow, sometime before July the 30th. If you hang on to the back end of the podcast, I've got an interview I did with KB after they beat the Dodgers in the NLCS 2016, sliced and diced it up a little bit in our musical outro, if you will. And yeah, that was a different time. And the Cubs were in a much different, more exciting, fun place to be. I hope that KB goes somewhere that's good for him. I'll be rooting for him. I'm a KB fan for life. There is a narrative out there that Chris is apparently not as tough as the Cubs would like, that in recent time periods, he's missed games and then played in the All-Star game, and perhaps he isn't quote-unquote built for this market, which seems utterly ridiculous to me, but that's how the Cubs are seeing it. And I think it kind of comes down to right now, do you trust Jed Hoyer? Do you believe in what the Cubs are doing? Incredible success, right? 2015, 2016, 2017, you go to the NLCS. 2019, 2020, you're back in the playoffs. Incredible run. 10 times the greatest run in the history of Cubs baseball. If you're going to look underneath it, though, and go the other way and try to be skeptical, how has this regime been here this long and can't seem to develop one damn pitcher? That's confusing, right? I don't get it. I trust you, Jed Hoyer, but swings and misses left and right as far as developing impact players on the mound, starters and or relievers for that matter. Albert Alzolay is the best they've come up with. And that's not the goal, clearly. So at the end of the day, I still trust Jed. When you listen to him talk, how can you not, right? Smart guy, seems reasonable. Cubs have had success, even though there has been lots of misses. Jason Hayward, you're up there. Jake Arrieta, small miss. Jock Peterson, great deal. That's a win. Shouldn't be in the miss column, but the letting Kyle Schwarber go part of it, confusing, even though Schwarber got hurt. So it's going to be a very interesting time frame here. And, hey, Wilson Contreras speaking out. You guys want to extend anybody on this team? How about an extension? How about a Wilson Contreras extension? How about a KB extension? It sounds like it's going to be Anthony Rizzo because, quote-unquote, he's the most popular. Love Riz, but that's not the most important guy to sign right now. I don't think anybody would disagree with that. So I am on pins and needles, actually, just waiting. I feel the anxiety. When's it going to happen? When they're going to be dealt? Is Bryant traded? It's going to feel terrible. I try to talk Jordan Birdfield off the ledge, and actually I feel like I'm speaking to myself. So the Windy City Podcast with Jordan this week. Bryant's going to be back next week, the three of us. So looking forward to that. But first, the Windy City Podcast is brought to you by Manscaped. You love it. You know it. Manscaped.com. Talk about a world-class dismount into the post-quarantine world. This package, the perfect package for your package. That's right. Peak performance in whatever sport you desire. The brand new Lawnmower 4.0 right here for you. Fourth generation trimmer. It's got the cutting edge ceramic blade. Ah, feels good when you get clean down low, ready to do your business in the public scene. The Lawnmower 4.0 has the 7,000 RPM motor. Yeah, it's amazing. And the LED spotlight. You can use it in the shower. Manscaped also giving you the two free gifts, the Manscaped boxers, which are oh so nice, and the Shed travel bag. Go to manscaped.com. You get 20% off, free shipping with the code FANSIDED20, FANSIDED20, at manscaped.com, our guys. All right, the Windy City Podcast with Jordan Bernfield. Trade deadline coming up starts right now.
Showtime.
Here is Wilson Contreras stepping in. Contreras drives one in the air down the line and left. A fair ball. It's going to be a two-run home run. Right down the line and left. The Cubs have taken a 4-2 lead here in the ninth inning. Peralta at first, two down. Cubs lead 4-2.
Check swing. Did he go? Yes, he did. Ball game. Cubs win.
I was so incredibly excited when Wilson Contreras went deep. Not that I was watching, by the way, Jordan Bernfield, because I had already given up at that point, but I was watching the score and down 2-1, and then all of a sudden it popped up at Guaranteed Rate Field. I was at the White Sox and the Astros to honor our friend Mike Jacobson, who had a tribute game on Saturday night. But there it was, Cubs 4, Diamondbacks 2, and then I find out that Contreras, it's a two-run homer with two outs in the ninth, and he's all about trying to win as many games as possible. I'm thinking this is going to be the season to remember. Were you with me?
So I was half watching at home. I was in the middle of feeding my daughter, and so like I wasn't totally paying attention, but I don't know if this happened for everyone, but it sounds like it did based on reading social media. Did you probably didn't even know about this, because you were at the White Sox game. The feed was cutting out as all of this is happening in the ninth inning. So in a season that has had admittedly very few moments of true joy, this would have been one of them, except the picture like went out and then the audio went out. And then I see Wilson Contreras like rounding the bases and pumping his chest. And I looked, and obviously, like, my daughter has no idea what's going on. She is purely focused on the bottle, which is clearly the most important thing in this moment. And I was like, Matilda, I think that Wilson Contreras just hit a home run, but I'm not sure. And so, and then, like, the picture finally came back and the audio came back and it said 4-2. So I don't want to crap on Marquee, because I don't know how this happened or whose fault it is or whatever. And it might've been just like a feed thing from Arizona, because Boog and Jim are not there and all this stuff. But it was weird, because this big moment happens, and because the picture and the audio are going all haywire, you're not completely sure that he just hit a game winning home run, but he did.
I saw the reports that it was a truck issue.
Yeah.
And it wasn't really Marquee's fault. Go get him, Marquee. You're doing the best you can. But that does, I guess, ring true for this season of Cub baseball.
it was perfect.
One of the few moments that we have left of positivity before pure death. The feed doesn't work. So we just for the record, recording earlier this week. It's Monday, July the 19th. At this moment in time, the only trade that has happened is Jock Peterson going to Atlanta, which we did the open last week on that after we had recorded, for Bryce Ball, single-A first baseman, who, depending on what ranking you read, was anywhere from 10 to 15 in the Braves system. Great trade. Way to go, Jed.
Well, see, this fits the narrative of fans who will go to MLB Pipeline and just look for the player when a trade happens and go, oh, he was number, I think, 12 on MLB Pipeline. Good trade. Knowing and having never heard of Bryce Ball a minute before making this Google search. So it at least appeases people for that. What I would say, having read a couple of articles now on Bryce Ball, it sounds like it's a reasonable guess, because he has huge power and he probably was someone that might've been a little bit undervalued, and he might not have the best contact skills, but could be a power guy. So worthwhile risk. To be honest, I'm a little surprised and actually pretty pleased that they could get someone as highly regarded as Bryce Ball for a one-year Jock Peterson, a half a season Jock Peterson as the Braves are getting. So yeah, I guess I'm fine with it. And to me, additionally, the other big news, which was that report that came out over the weekend, is the idea that the Cubs are going to re-sign or try to re-sign Baez and Rizzo and presumably still trade Chris Bryant based on the reports that are out there, that there are multiple teams that are looking into him. So before I give you my take on this, Mark Harmon, I want to know what you think with regard to this idea that the Cubs, because Jed has said they're not going 2012, they're not blowing it up, no more Donnie Murphys and Nate Shearholtz out there next year. So if they're not blowing it up and they want to re-sign Baez and Rizzo, what does that say to you?
So let me just remind you, when they did blow it up the last time, they made 10 huge trades. They gave up 13 players, the likes of Ryan Dempster and Jeff Samardzija.
Ryan Dempster, which netted them Kyle Hendricks.
Exactly. Who started game 7 of the 2016 World Series, which I'm pretty sure they won. They gave up 13 players. At the time, they were average age of 31. 8 years of future control is what they had on those players. They got 17 prospects. The average age was 22.5. So I'll do the math for everybody here. That would be 8.5 years younger. Thank you very much. And 95 years of future control. So 95 minus 8, I believe, is 87. So 87 more years of control. And this, you know, ended up setting up things like Jake Arrieta and Pedro Strop and Kyle Hendricks and so many, just wins that they had.
Addison Russell at the time was a win. I mean, we didn't know it was going to turn the way it did.
Right.
When they traded for him, people were thrilled at that.
Right. And actually, at that particular one, I was like, who's going to pitch? We're losing Samardzija and Hamill, but they were right.
Then they got Hamill back.
And they got Hamill back, and then they should have traded Russell, and they didn't. So in these things, it's an inexact science. But my point in bringing it up is, like, look, you need to be pretty aggressive, at least in my mind, when you're trying to do these things. And the concept, I guess, that they're going to not sign Chris Bryant, because I keep on hearing this, Jordan, that the Cubs are not interested in Bryant, that they don't think that he is built for Chicago, that perhaps he's not popular in the Cubs clubhouse, that he is not the toughest player, that Wilson Contreras, when he was calling out his teammates, was talking about Chris. I've heard this, and I don't know if it's true or if it isn't true. Actions are going to speak louder than words, but it sure seems like Bryant is out the door. And your original question is, what do I think about all this? You know, Anthony Rizzo supposedly is coming back to the Cubs and is trying to make a deal work because, I don't know, his back's falling apart and he likes being here, and he wants to do I guess right by himself and his family. He wants to stay here. Okay. I'm not paying up for Anthony Rizzo, I'll tell you that much.
No, at this point, I think, and we talked about the thank you contract, I think it's by the day I'm paying him less. Yeah. You want to give him a thank you contract? Fine. But
I'm giving you,
what is he going to be in 2 years with that back problem?
I'm giving you a fair deal. I'm more than happy to pay him going rate for a really good first baseman for 3 years. I'd be
so
willing.
3 years, 45.
Sure. I'd even go 3 years, 60. No problem. I would do that.
Okay. Fine.
But I don't want to go 5 and 100.
No.
So, and then with Baez, I don't think I'd give Baez market value, whatever that would be.
Here's the thing. You don't want to give Javi Baez market value because he probably doesn't deserve it. And this is not me saying I don't like Javi Baez. I don't want people angrily tweeting at me. I love Javi Baez, but I think you have to be objective about what Javi Baez is, right? Javi Baez, when he's going well, is one of the most exciting players, if not the most exciting player in baseball, right? The intangibles, the incredible defense, the seemingly clutch hit at the perfect time the fire and passion that he plays with, the base running, the tags, the goofy plays that somehow he always ends up on the right side of. He does all of those things. When he's bad, he is like the worst player in the league too, right? He seems unfocused. His defense is terrible. His offense is, I mean, it's like he's swinging a boat oar up there and can't get a hit. So am I paying top dollar for a guy that over the next 5 to 7 years relies on his athleticism, which will eventually decline, for a guy that is not someone that I can bank on really doing anything, right? I mean, sometimes he's great, sometimes he's not. Like Chris Bryant, it's interesting what you say about this personality stuff, because my interactions with him, I think your interactions with him have been the same, that he seems like the nicest dude. There's like nothing, literally nothing you could complain about. I don't know what he's like in the clubhouse on a day-to-day basis or anything like that, because we're not there. But right, he seems pretty accountable. He plays through injury from what we know. He, well, when healthy, is one of the best players in the sport. And so to me, when I look at this, Mark, if we're being honest about what this is, okay, the idea that you would choose to invest in Baez and Rizzo and not Bryant means you don't want to spend the money to be good.
Well, let me flip it back the other way, because let's just go back to Jed specifically. Do you trust Jed Hoyer?
Probably.
Right.
The reason I say probably is because I think he's a really smart guy. You and I have both interacted with him. I've had many, you know, on-field conversations conversations with him. I think he's a really impressive guy, and he worked under Theo for many years. And when he was in San Diego, they were successful.
He also gets his tennis racket strung at the same place that I do, which is Your Advantage, not a sponsor of this thing, but he goes to Your Advantage on Ashland. I think that's a huge feather in his cap. He knows Bob Maruca is the best racket stringer in Chicago. Used to string for Connors back in the day, strings for Northwestern. He's doing a great job making that choice. And yes, every time he talks, I think that, oh, Jed Hoyer is smarter than me. I'm glad that he's in charge of the baseball team, because he seems like he really knows what he's doing. So do you just sit back and no matter what they do, okay, I trust you, bud. You're the man in charge. You know what you're doing. Winning is hard. You guys won a World Series at some point.
Can I make
point.
One caveat, though?
Yeah, sure.
I think I would trust Jed more if I knew that Tom Ricketts and family was going to open the pocketbook to let him do what he wants and needs to do.
That's a great
point.
Which
I don't believe is true, right? I think that he did that for Theo. I think that the Ricketts family did that for Theo. They said, Theo, you're Theo. You walk on water. It was on the Sun-Times. You've brought us success. Whatever you need to do by way of investment, trade, whatever, do what you have to do. I don't know that Jed has that same freedom. And the reason I think that is because of the Darvish trade. Because there was no baseball reason to make that trade. There were 68 million reasons to make that trade.
Right. And it's a fair point. Hey, he might have at least a little bit one hand tied behind his back. But I honestly doubt it. They have three players under contract for next year, 40 million. I mean, they have ample dough to spend to even come close to having a representative Major League Baseball payroll. So I think he's got a lot of freedom to do what he wants to do here. I mean, if he really wanted to sign Chris, that would impact him on the back end of what he could fill out the roster. But if he just wanted to sign him, I think they got the dough to do it. I would highly doubt that Tom Ricketts would say, we won't pay any one player that amount of money. I think he would look at the totality of what they're spending versus one guy. I don't think he would operate like that.
I agree with that. But objectively, let's take the fan part out of it, right? I know we're both Cubs fans, but let's take the fan part out of it. If I give you three players.
I'm a White Sox guy.
Yeah. If I give you Chris Bryant, Anthony Rizzo, Javier Baez, you can invest in one. Who are you investing in?
I'm investing in Bryant.
End of story.
Right.
So to me, if the idea is they want to sign Baez and Rizzo, I read between the lines and say they're trying to appease the fan base.
I don't think it is.
Here's the thing. If you're not going to sign Bryant, right? Okay. You don't want to bottom out. You don't want to suck. Okay.
That's what they say.
If you don't want to suck, how are you replacing Chris Bryant? You can't, because of the versatility, the offense, the elite play on both sides of the ball. You can't. So
you know what I'll say about
you could replace Anthony Rizzo, no offense, with plenty of guys, and you can't replace the intangibles of Javi Baez, but you could replace the production of Javi Baez. Not so difficult.
Let me channel my inner Jed Hoyer. How much do you think Chris Bryant is going to get in the open market? What's it going to cost to pay him?
Depends on how many years, but I would guess he could probably get, I mean, he's 30, right?
29.
So do you give him, 30. So he's going to be 30 saying next year when he signs. You think he could get 6 for 30 a year? So we're talking, you know, 180 million?
Right.
So, or is he getting 6 for 200 million at the most?
Right. Is he getting 35?
He's not getting Lindor money.
Why not? He might. I mean, we're talking third, first, left.
But Lindor
center,
got
right?
that money because he got 10 years, right? For 12 years.
Yeah.
I don't think that Bryant's getting 10 years from anybody.
So he might even get more. He could get 5 for 200. I don't know. My point is that this Jed Hoyer is sitting there looking at it like whatever the dollar figure is that Bryant's going to get on the open market, and I think he probably thinks it's going to be a lot. He thinks that he can allocate that money better than just paying Chris. I think that's clearly how, if they don't sign him, which I don't expect them to, I think that's how he looks at it. And he's going to look at it like, plus we get this X return of players coming in. So I think it's
right,
a twofold
like,
form.
Let's play that out, though, okay? Let's play that out. And I hear what you're saying. So let's say they don't re-sign Bryant because they want to save that money for somebody else. You re-sign Javi Baez for, let's guess, 5 years, $125 million, right?
25 a year for Javi, okay?
Yeah, I wouldn't want to pay him, but I think he might
pay. I'd give him 5 and 125.
I don't think I would, but let's say that they would, okay? Then let's say you're signing Anthony Rizzo for 3 years, $60 million, as you said.
Yeah.
Okay? So now you've added
$185 million.
Well, yeah, but you've added 25 and 20. So you've added $45 million to next year's payroll.
Right.
Per year. Okay, for the next 3 to 5 years. So who are you now signing with the money that you're not paying Chris Bryant that's going to make you competitive? And how much better are you having aging Anthony Rizzo and unvaccinated Anthony Rizzo and Javi Baez, who I love but is only going to decline for the next 3 years? So like where does that put you?
So let me just be clear. The Burnfield plan then is that you would let both Baez and Rizzo go and sign Bryant?
I think that I don't know that that's necessarily it. It's not either or for me. I'm just saying from a philosophical standpoint, if there's three people and I have to invest in one, the idea that they're going to invest in Baez and Rizzo or the two, if I only get one, I don't want them. I want Bryant because I can't replace Bryant from a versatility, elite offense, intangibles standpoint. And I think that you'd agree with me that if we project over the next 5 years, who's going to be the guy that you could count on the most? The answer is Chris Bryant, right?
We are in agreement. It just doesn't seem like the Cubs agree with us. And I'm going to have to take them at the professional level that they know what the hell they're doing.
Right. So then again, so then if it comes down to what we were just talking about, right? So if it comes down to $45 million next year for Baez and Rizzo or $30 million next year for Chris Bryant, I'd rather spend $30 million on Chris Bryant.
I 100%. I agree. And that's not what's going to happen. I think it just seems to me like he's as good as gone. I'll be stunned if it goes the other way. But let me throw another one out at you. Because Patrick Mooney, again, with a great piece in The Athletic, basically calling Kyle Hendricks an untouchable, and which makes sense. Somebody's got a pitch. He's got a reasonable deal. He wants to be here. He's as solid as they come. He's as clutch as they come. I'd have no problem if they traded Kyle Hendricks, by the way, if you got enormous value, but doesn't sound like that's going to happen. And Wilson Contreras, under contract through 2022, that's one more year, okay?
both those guys seem like they're not going anywhere. Are you paying them? Are you extending Wilson? I mean, Hendricks is way down the line, but Contreras is coming, and Contreras is becoming a very potent vocal force in that clubhouse. And I love it, actually.
I do like the way that he plays. He is here's my thing with Wilson Contreras. He is a good player. I don't think that he's become the offensive player that we hoped that he would be objectively. I mean, I think that he is, for a catcher, what I've always said about Wilson Contreras is positionally, he is really valuable offensively because most catchers stink offensively, right? I mean, you're looking at a very small group of catchers that actually can hit in Major League Baseball, and the ones that can are generally Hall of Famers, right? So there's not a lot of catchers that are good offensively. So positionally, Wilson Contreras has been a guy that at times has been elite from an offensive standpoint. He has a great arm. He's become a much better pitch framer than he was maybe 3 years ago. But am I giving him a big contract? No, I'm not. Wilson Contreras, but are you? Are you giving him a big contract?
I probably am. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I listen, to me, he's like the Cubs' Yadi Molina.
But he's not Yadi Molina. That's the thing. Yadi Molina is going to the Hall of Fame. Wilson Contreras is a good player. They're
right.
Two different things.
It's an upper level. It's a step up to get to Yadi. But Wilson's on his way, man. He just can't hit 230. By the way, as we're recording today, and I'm just noticing this, Zach LaVine, Bulls guard. What's up, Cubs fans? You know Zach LaVine. He was put into the health and safety protocol, and he didn't travel with the team on his flight to Tokyo. Another idiot. Love you, Zach. But another guy who clearly did not get vaccinated. The Bradley Beal.
What are you, Cap? You're just like reading Twitter mid-podcast and something that has nothing to do with anything.
Well, I just channeled my inner Cap. But honestly, the reason why I went to the web while you were talking, because I was just double-checking that nothing had happened with the Cubs, that I hadn't missed anything in the last 10 minutes. Right. And here's
the thing. Wilson Contreras is two-time All-Star. Okay. I think from an offensive standpoint, has posted pretty good WAR numbers. And in 2017, he was a 3.9 WAR, pretty good. In 2018, he was a 3.1 WAR, was an All-Star. 2019 was a 3.2 WAR All-Star. Pretty good. Right. But we're not talking about great. So if you're paying him on a pretty good contract and not a great contract in terms of money, then I don't have any problem bringing him back because I like him and I think the fire he plays with is good. I think he makes a lot of dumb base running decisions. I think sometimes he is over aggressive when it comes to throwing behind runners, trying to show off how, he can throw the ball 100 miles an hour and puts the Cubs into positions that he doesn't need to. I wish he would just scale back some of that's too much about him, right? But overall, I have felt that Wilson Contreras is a guy that contributes positively to the team. And this year has a 2.6 WAR middle of the way through the year. He's having a pretty good season. But again, I can't look at his batting average this year, especially because nobody has a high batting average. I just think that we have to throw out the batting averages. There's only a few guys in baseball that have a traditionally good batting average. But OPS of 778 is like, it's fine. But I mean, I'm just saying, like, if you get a good value for him because somebody wants the total package of Wilson Contreras, I'm listening. And with regard to Kyle Hendricks, I read Patrick Mooney's piece as well. I get where they're coming from in terms of who better than Kyle Hendricks to kind of help some of these young guys along. I feel like this kid, Jordan Wicks, that they just drafted from Kansas State, could stand to benefit from learning from Kyle Hendricks because he's a fastball changeup pitcher. And I'm sure that Kyle Hendricks could impart some knowledge on him. And I get that whole sort of thing. I'm just saying that if I were offered a primo package for Kyle Hendricks, it's hard not to entertain that possibility as much as I love Kyle Hendricks.
You're no longer Jordan Bernfield. Your name is Trader Jordan. You are deadline Jordan.
I don't want
Jordan.
To blow everything up, so to speak. I'm just saying
I think you
don't have – well, but here's the thing.
It's okay.
I'm willing to be Trader Jordan in this scenario. Okay. When you don't have the elite system, then you have to either have it or you're in the middle, right? Like, what wins in baseball these days? You have to have the currency to get the players that you want, or you have to have the money to spend on aging free agents. And the Cubs seem unwilling to throw $200 million at the problem, and they seem unwilling to bottom out. And so my fear is they're going to be something in the middle. And the worst thing that can happen at the end of this run is for them to not maximize the value on these assets that continue to depreciate. And that is my biggest fear as a fan. So if it means that I'm Trader Jordan, then yes, I'm Trader Jordan, because at least if they launch all these guys, but they end up with 8 prospects that you could win with, I'm not saying that they all come up and they help your major league team, but at least it then gives you the currency to go get somebody you want.
First you get the money, then you get the power, then you get the girl. Scarface, thank you very much. That's what the Cubs need.
Yeah.
First you get the money, then you get the power, and then you get the girl. Look, Jordan, what I'd like to do for our DeWindy City Cubs podcast listeners, who you're sort of in this boat, but since I just called you Trader Jordan, you're not as in this boat. But what I'd like to do is set up a support call / meeting system. I think we should all set a place that we're going to go to. And I think I did this last week, but we didn't really hammer it down. We should have a place where we're going to go when Bryant gets traded. Anybody else doesn't matter. But when Bryant gets traded, I think we should all meet at the Lou Malnati's in the Gold Coast.
So are we going stress eating or are we going bar? Because I feel like when Bryant gets traded, I'm going to need to loosen up. This is going to be a sad night.
Okay. Well, me as
to me, can I say this though? If they trade Bryant, like I was saying this last week,
they're trading Bryant. When they trade Bryant,
this is like
when
they trade. This is one of the souls of the golden era of the Cubs, right? Yes, like yes. Chris Bryant was the elite prospect that they drafted in 2013 when everyone thought they were drafting Mark Appel or Jonathan Gray. They went Chris Bryant, 31 homers at San Diego State, light tower power. This guy is going to come save our everything. Was incredible. Rookie of the year, MVP, World Series, Game 5, home run, sends us on to Game 6. Was incredible. I mean, has been great for a 6-year period, and it's going to absolutely just suck so bad when they trade him.
So feel free to tweet at Jordan Bernfield or at the
Cubs. Is this like a support group? Like, hi, yes. My name is Jordan, and I'm sorry that Chris Bryant got traded.
Yes. I mean, we can ratchet up Michael Cerami. We can find Cap. He won't care. Actually, Cap's not invited. We need to find the true Beto, of course, will be there. We got to get Commerce.
We miss you this week, Beto. He's living his best life on family.
Yeah. That guy's dead to me until he returns. And I, we love you, Beto. I know you don't listen to the podcast either, so you won't hear this. But, I think we need to channel all the great Cub fans in Chicago. Ken Tarnoff, Tarney, you don't listen to this podcast either, but I'm thinking of you. And you, by the way, DeWindy City Cubs listener, just feel free. Let's get together on Twitter and let's have a plan, because when things go sour in life, as we all know, we need support. And this is not the most important thing, but this is baseball gone terrible with the greatest era in Cubs history about to officially really, 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 really come to an end. So I'm going to need a hug, and I know Jordan will too. And it's not just, honestly, I don't think we need alcohol. I don't think we need Jack Daniels / Maker's Mark / vodka sodas. I think we should all feel our feelings and be sober and just be in it together and sit in a circle and get Phil Jackson with some incense, and I'll say,
so are we going to stress eat? That's what, that was your plan, right? Because if we're going to Malnati's, we're stress eating.
Yes, we absolutely could stress eat. We can each get, we can get a huge, multiple pizzas coming to the table, and we'll get,
I think we got to go like wings. Yeah. Just go completely to hell.
Wings. We get, and five cookie sundaes, all of
them. Yes. The bruschetta, like every, just bring it all down.
Right. Let's go. And we can just tell stories about the 2016 Cubs and the first time, and when Chris Bryant hit a home run in game five against the Cleveland Indians, when all was lost and they were going to lose the series 4-1. But all of a sudden, Cubs personnel thinks that he's soft and can't and doesn't fit in this market, and they're not going to pay him. So
can I just say that sounds like a big heaping pile of crap as a means to say, well, that's why we couldn't pay him. Doesn't
yeah,
it?
I don't.
Does that not sound like some kind of contrived reason that they can say, well, we would have paid him, but, you know, he's kind of soft and he's kind of that's come on. Wouldn't we have heard this 6 years ago if that was the case? He's been here a long time.
I'm honestly not sure that it's a money thing. I think the Cubs clubhouse is messed up. And I think Bryant is.
Well, OK, so let's play that out. If the Cubs clubhouse is messed up, then who gets blamed first?
Bryant.
You think it's Bryant? Do you think Bryant's one of the leaders of the team?
I think Bryant's.
See, because I think if the Cubs clubhouse is messed up, you're looking at the, quote, leaders of the team. Anthony Rizzo is allegedly this captain figure of the team. If that's not the case, then maybe Anthony Rizzo is not the one that you want being the player that you invest in for the long term.
That would be my take, but they're not going about it that way. It does not seem, and we don't know. We do not know. And we're talking,
right. I'm not in there every day, and I don't want to say something that's not a turn. I'm just saying that if we're going to say now, if the rumor that's being floated out there is that in some way, shape or form, Chris Bryant is not positively contributing to the clubhouse atmosphere, which neither of us can confirm, but if that's the rumor that you said is out there, I had not heard that until now, then that seems like something that was put into the atmosphere as a way to grease the skids to get him out of town, which would be unfortunate.
So let's wrap up on this, by the way. I was on my way to work today thinking about you, Jordan, and thanks for having me, Chelsea, and Poppy over for dinner on Friday night. It was lovely to be at the Burnfields first class operation over there. And so I'm walking down Chicago Avenue. I'm by LaSalle, Chicago and LaSalle. You can all enjoy this one. And I'm having my coffee, and I look to my left, and at the bus stop, there is a advertisement, and it says Taking the Hill. And there's a picture of John Lester with a scowl. There's Yu Darvish ready to fire a four-seamer. There's Kyle Hendricks staring in, excited to give you the sweet changeup. And there's Jose Quintana going to just dominate you from the left side. And it says, opens March 30th at Wrigley Field, Cubs, where stories play. And I would just like to make a request. Throw out that ad and come and give me a picture of Patrick Wisdom alongside
Zach Davies
and Eric Sogard and Robinson.
By the way, he's back. You were right.
Yeah. And Robinson Chirinos.
Bobby Chirinos.
Your 2021 Chicago Cubs. Where's Matt Duffy? Or we could get a picture of Bryant with his suitcase and Peterson out the door. And then we can get a picture of Craig Kimbrell with his stats waving goodbye. And then we can throw in and we can put Darvish on there in a Padres uniform. Yeah.
Yeah. Chapin's going to be gone for sure. He's going to buy a beater in whatever city they trade him to. It's just, you know, we were talking about this a few weeks ago on the pod, and I had this thought over the weekend because Arizona, obviously terrible and rebuilding and everything. You know what we have not experienced in a long time is meaningless Cubs baseball. And I don't want to go back. And we're about there.
Oh.
And that really, really sucks.
It's going to be a
because like so many of our friends and you know, colleagues and fans, you know, on the other side of town are so jacked up about what's been such a fun White Sox season. They're playing great and all this stuff. And I'm happy for them. And it just stinks for us because, like, we had it so good for the last 7 years. And I don't want to go back to the Cubs playing meaningless baseball. I really don't. So
you just took me to a point. Go ahead.
Well, I'm just going to say, like, whatever happens this deadline, if it's really the case that next year they believe they can compete, then I can saddle through this 3 months of crappery to hope that in 22 they're better. But it feels a lot more like we're settling in until my daughter is like 7 for them to be decent again.
You took me on a journey to end of the season, Carmen still vending in his life, the off season, no real plan, just complete days of cloud. And I'm showing up in September to 18,000 people.
Ozzie Timmons is leading off.
And I'm going to make $78, but I have nothing better to do with my life. So I'm here and that era of Cubs baseball. So thank you for reminding me that I'm no longer doing that. Fingers crossed. All right.
Andy Maldonado's in left field.
Yeah, he was so good. I loved Cal Daniels and his bad knees. Go Cubs, go.
I'm just saying, it's not that I want to trade everybody, because as a fan of this era and this roster, it's going to be really a rude awakening when they launch guys off this team. But I just don't want it to get to the point. It's going to be a hard sell for this team and this market with this ownership that has spent all this money to say, we're doing this again. We're blowing it up. Donnie Murphy, Nate Shearholtz, Paul Mahalom, come on down 2.0.
They're not
like, I don't want that.
I do. I actually,
if it's the best thing for the franchise, then they should do it. But going back to having to like watch Myrtle Beach Pelicans games to find out who's going to be here in 3 years is just not what I'm in for. I don't want that.
They're not going to do it. You don't have to worry about it. That's not happening. There'll be a
Beto would love it though. Of the three of us, well, Beto loves a good Myrtle Beach Pelicans game.
Yeah.
And nothing against them. I'm sure it's a lot of fun to go to game. I'm just saying that in 2012, 2013, 2014, I could tell you every single guy they drafted. I could tell you every single guy and how they were doing in the minor league system. I don't want to have to follow every game for Brennan Davis. When he gets here, great. But I don't want to have to go back to that. Well, we had it so good.
You're in a different place now. You're an older guy, and what you will do, Jordan, is just forget about them for a couple of years and then come back.
Probably, yes.
You won't do that again. So it'll be okay. But you're part of the problem, and actually you're the reason. That philosophy is why they didn't win for 108 years, because you're going to dream for something miraculously to turn around, and we're going to enjoy, or for 5 minutes each year, the 77-85 Cubs when they're 3 games away from first place in June, and you'll be like trying to figure out a pathway for victory, because that just feels like where they're headed right now, which is just gross. And by the way, they'll be charging you premium prices for that 77-85 miracle 85-77 product.
Your ticket is $145. Your beer is $12. Your cheeseburger is $11. And if you want the fries, that's an extra $7.
Right. Welcome to Wrigley Field. Chris Bryant. How does it feel, Chris Bryant?
I don't know. I can't really put this in the words yet, but
thank you.
This is the best feeling, you know, I've ever had in my baseball career. And, you know, there's only one that can top it, and hopefully you can do that.
Second year. That's it, and you're already here. That's unbelievable.
I know. I'm so spoiled. I mean, you know, to win 200 games over the past 2 years and play in the playoffs 2 years in a row, I'm so spoiled. This is unbelievable, and I'm certainly not taking anything for granted.
This program was recorded on tape for a live audience.
What's your favorite part about being a part of the group?
just coming to the field every day. I mean, it's so much fun. These guys have so much fun. There's different personalities, 1 through 25, and you know, there's certainly not a dull moment here.
You guys would never let on, but down 2-1, was there really just no shake of the team that you guys felt, hey, we're okay?
Yeah, I mean, we believe. I mean, being down 2-1, you know, some guys weren't hitting and guys stepped up the rest of the way. And, you know, that's what this team's been doing. And, you know, hopefully we can continue that.
Two more. Your favorite thing about playing for Joe Maddon?
You never know what to expect. I mean, he changes up a lot. A lot of fun theme trips, animals on the field. You never know, a pitcher playing left field. You never know what to expect.
And lastly, the Cleveland Indians. That's up next. Unbelievable, right?
Yeah, I mean, two franchises who really deserve it, and they're a great team. We've been watching them throughout the playoffs. They got some unbelievable players, so it should be a fun World Series.
KB, congrats. Good luck.
Thank you. Appreciate it.